Becoming the New Wineskin by Russ Painter is brought to you by Kingdom Training Institute. Our goal is life transformation through education and mentoring.
We have spent the past couple of years, I think, basically I've been sharing the gospel messages, you know, from the four gospels. And we've just been through the book of Acts. And really the focus that the Lord showed me back then was how he was going to bring us all into a greater awareness and a greater experience of our oneness with Christ. You know, that was the 2020 vision that he spoke to me about, you know, back in 2018, saying, yeah, I want my people to get a vision for what their life can look like when they become so used to being, you know, this oneness with Christ, so that we can literally be Jesus to the world around us, right? That was the phrase that he kind of dropped into my heart as I was talking with him about this season that we're in now. So little did we know at that point that we would be in the midst of one of the most difficult and yet transformative seasons that I think any of us have ever experienced. Who, you know, in their wildest dreams would have ever expected that we would be dealing with a situation requiring us to social distance and to use a mask to go shopping and things of that nature, right? To see churches and other things, businesses, you know, all closed down because of the abject fear over a virus that, while it certainly has proven to be dangerous, it's been, I think, also proven to be dangerous to only a small subset of the population. But in any event, we are, you know, kind of now looking at coming out of this season. You know, it's been what, since March, you know, that we have been in this. And while each of us has been like, well, maybe it's going to be, you know, this month and this, it just seems like it's it's dragging on. And I there's a lot I could say about that, but I'm not, because that's not what I want to talk about. What I do want to share with you, you know, is that as I have looked at how things are progressing, as I've looked at the changes that have happened, and especially as it relates to the body of Christ and the way that we have typically met together, you know, with church services and those kinds of things, all of that, I mean, all of that just basically has gotten blown out of the water. The ability to continue to meet the way it's always been done, well, that got shut down. And, you know, as I've looked at all of these things, to me, it's very clear, to me anyway, it's very clear that while the Lord certainly had no hand in the release of that virus and the consequences of this virus, it wasn't God, it wasn't his will. I think most of us understand that God takes whatever happens and he redeems it, right? Even as Joseph said to his own brothers, well, you meant it for evil, but God turned it around for good. And so that's what he does. God is never taken by surprise. He is fully aware of whatever schemes the enemy, you know, is hatching and cooking up and putting into play. And he just simply makes allowance for that and creates his plan to use that for his own purposes. This is what God does, right? And so that's where we are right now. We are in a situation where this virus and all that has happened, the consequences of that, God is using it in very specific and very powerful ways to accomplish his purposes. You know, I've been someone who, for probably almost the last 20 years, I have been looking for and believing for and praying for a real revolution in the body of Christ, in the church, you know, the status quo and all of that. And oh my goodness, that's exactly what we have right now. So, you know, as I was really asking the Lord about, well, where do you want us to go? Where do you want to take us, you know, as we continue to gather together here in our virtual breakfast club and, you know, talk about the things that are important to the Lord, what he is emphasizing, what he wants for us to know? Well, you know, for me, it really was coming back to something that was a very, very big emphasis 10 years ago, and that was understanding the new wineskin. You know, it's been something that I had heard and you know, the Lord had emphasized it at various times throughout my Christian walk, that this new wineskin was something that was very important to him. And so the other day, I happened to, one of the email newsletters that I get is from folks in New England who have been praying together for many years now for revival, for, you know, God to just come and do his thing in New England. And one of the brothers that are, you know, is part of that, wrote something that I felt was so perceptive that I'm actually going to just read this to you as we launch into this kind of new thing, this new focus that we're going to have for who knows how long it will be. I don't know. You know, I just, it's a day at a time. His name is Rob Swanson, and he was a missionary and a pastor. I'm not sure what he's doing right now, but he certainly has a background that gives him a perspective on the church, as do I. Many of you know that I have been involved in ministry for most of my life, in many cases, you know, part of leadership, starting my own ministries over the years, on staff at a local church for a season. So, you know, all of these things are very, very familiar to me. And when Rob, what he writes here, I think is going to be interesting, that I think it's a good way to kind of kick off our conversation here. So he writes, "Our church is uniquely poised," stated the pastor, leaving his script on the first Sunday in June, my first Sunday back. I do not remember the end of the sentence, but I thought about it later. Uniquely poised. For what? For newfound vitality since the separation began in March? For well-attended times of worship? For a year where the church meets its goals? For an influx of penitent, revived believers? The church is slowly bouncing back, but bouncing back to what? Not a return in any sense. History just does not work this way. There is no going back. The same equals repetition, and repetition is slow regression. In other words, going backwards. The quarantine slogans have included, "We'll come back better than ever. We'll get through this. We took it all for granted. Absence makes the heart grow fonder." Well, many Christians found lots to like about their time away. A new back door emerged. For every eager returner, there is another having discovered a new and more fulfilling routine. The world throws problems and challenges at us like an octopus hurling oranges, more than we can handle if not for the grace of God. To this, we now add recovering from COVID-19. At a 2020 discipleship forum, gifted pastors voiced their frustration with a lack of effectiveness. The best of the best were wondering, what are we doing wrong? Most of the churches participating in a supporting study were claiming to lead one person per 100 members to faith each month. 10% of those churches led two. Both groups averaged no numerical growth. More than 50% of churches are involved in discipleship are still not growing. One asked, what should we do going forward? Work harder, plod along, and trust God, preach better, pray up a revival, find a success story and buy their material, scour the internet. Lord Jesus, come quickly. The church is uniquely poised and going forward, I would like to add, by reforming the church. We cannot expect to get by, much less advance, with antiquated readings of the Bible or an archaic understanding of the church and her mission. Retaining the 20th century highly cultural understanding of the church is the leadership of the lazy man or woman. That was then. In other words, if we just simply get back to business as usual, the status quo, right? Thank God for our heritage, but we are moving on and hoping to keep Ichabod away. Some of you know what that means. The culture that so well supported a post-World War II institution is not shared by our children. The key for the future does not rest on improving the quality of the believer, but improving the functioning of their church. The church needs to reform toward a demonstrable expression of the body of Christ. Our church gatherings consist primarily of music and teaching ministries coming in the form of songs and sermons directed from a platform to people seated in rows. Nice, but cultural, temporary, and passive. The church's greater need is for interaction among body members. Relationships need time and a place to develop. The old dogs must learn some new tricks, new ways. Of all the relational images for church, the body of Christ is number one. Where is the risen Christ to be found? In his body. Properly led, we can be the expression of the risen Christ. Or the church can remain the organization that it is, with people happy to be serving, receiving nurture, enjoying friends, and declining. We want to invest time in the things that matter. What matters more than witnessing the presence of Christ, who is alive today? Expect Holy Spirit-led participation, gift expression, and mutual upbuilding of all the body members who hear from God. They teach, exhort, encourage in accordance with their gifting and opportunity. They pray, they love. They need to be equipped for ministry. Pastors already know this, Ephesians 4:12. Prompting the body of Christ to function as the body of Christ should be our first priority. This priority we have not inherited from the 20th century. The pulpit, pew, order of worship, leadership expectations, role of music, and altar calls are historical developments becoming dated. The steeple evidently has its origin with the Roman obelisk fascination. A better symbol for church is the table. May the 21st century major on discussion, and the table is where we discuss, learn, pray for, receive prayer, and become known. We share ideas, and we share life. Table dynamics require planning and leadership. Poorly led gatherings are one and done. The Holy Spirit's primary aim is for the fullness of Christ to be experienced and seen with evangelistic consequences, as Jesus prayed in John 17. The primacy of relationships is the most basic attribute of the Trinity, and we are now filled with that divine nature, as Peter writes in his second letter. God has equipped His church to bring forth the fullness of Christ through body life. Ingredients include fellowship, gift identity, gift expression, variety, equipping, loving, worship, witness, encouraging and celebrating, ministry initiatives, learning, accountability, order, scripture, musical genres, visual arts, drama, communion, correction, prayer, celebration of grace. Good leadership results in Holy Spirit-guided ministry toward an assembly uniquely united in the same mind. This is ongoing, not to become a set pattern for future generations. I mean, I can go on. This is quite an amazing letter that he has written to the church. And it's all about embracing a reformation, okay? You know, we have, I think, for many years been focused on revival, and that's great. The church does need to be revived. It has entered over the centuries, it entered into a moribund and death-like state where it just was basically hiding away within the four walls. And while there's been progress towards breaking that down and moving us outside the four walls, there's still much to be done. And what we've just been through, where the body of Christ has been denied the ability to meet as usual, has shaken the foundations of what we've come to expect, right? God's word talks about shaking all that can be shaken so that whatever cannot be shaken remains. And what is it that cannot be shaken? It's all those things that are actually founded in the Word of God, many of which I just read for you through this former pastor's letter. And so our challenge, and what I believe the Lord has been highlighting to me as I've been thinking about these things and dialoguing with Him, even just over this past weekend, I felt like the Lord highlighted two very important aspects of this reforming that He is doing and is wanting to do on an even greater level. And some of this I just, you know, we just looked at and listened to in this brother's letter. But the first aspect that I feel the Lord is speaking to us loudly and clearly is that we must revise our meetings. We cannot simply go back to the meetings that we have been accustomed to, as he describes it, where, you know, you've got all this platform presentation. We've got to move from a presentation format to interactive gatherings that are small enough where everyone has an opportunity to be involved. Many of you know that my life was altered dramatically and transformed by 1 Corinthians 14:26, where Paul writes that when you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, let all things be done. Okay, that's the pattern for any gathering of the body of Christ. And so we have to revise our meetings to be presence led by the presence of God, led by the Holy Spirit, not simply by a liturgy or an agenda that has become the familiar way that we do our services. And God has broken us free from that. To go back to it would be a repudiation of what the Lord is wanting to do, to change how we begin to regather together as the body of Christ. The second aspect of this, to me, was even more radical for those who are shall we say, invested in the status quo. And the second part is that we must repurpose our buildings. And the thing that the Lord spoke to me was that maintaining largely empty meeting spaces is no longer acceptable. When you consider that most church buildings are only utilized for gatherings, either on Sunday or perhaps a midweek gathering, and then perhaps some smaller other gatherings, you know, sporadically throughout the week, I really believe the Lord is saying that is no longer acceptable. That is no longer acceptable stewardship of facility space. Instead, we need to actually consider how do we repurpose the facility so that it actually can serve the needs of the community in which that facility is located. Now, I don't personally have a facility at this moment in which I can do this, but I have thought long and hard about what I will do when God blesses us with a facility. Here are some ideas. How about food distribution, homeless outreach and ministry, abused women, bringing shelter to them if they need it, right? Some kind of halfway house program, educational programs that can benefit the community, English as second language, ESL classes, helping people prepare for a better job, teaching them how to present themselves effectively and write a good resume that will help them to get a better job, computer skills. I mean, there are all manner of basic educational kinds of things that facilities can be used to help people with. How about a health clinic? This one is very near and dear to my heart. I believe that God's called me and those in my tribe to create a health clinic where there will be a holistic variety of methodologies that will help people get free from whatever they're being held in bondage by, right? Prayer and counseling centers, community development. How is it that we can open our facility for sessions where people can come and brainstorm? How can we improve this community? What is it that we can do? How can we put our hand to that plow, right? Civil service support. How can the church begin to engage more directly with the various areas of civil service in the community, whether it's in government or police, fire, you know, health, whatever kinds of areas that are there that could use the support of the body of Christ. Retail, business, oh my gosh, opening up facility space for retail and business establishments to come and use the space to bless the community. Okay. Church is not a for-profit organization, but it can rent its space, okay, and the rent becomes a donation to the church. There's so many different possible aspects of how the facilities that again are basically sitting idle for the majority of the time and only being utilized for very certain gatherings. It's a mind-blowing thing to think about. And so as we look to move forward and look to understand how is this new wineskin, right, that Jesus spoke of, what does it actually look like? How does it become a transformative force in the communities in which we live? That's the challenge that we face. God is reforming the church. The question is, are we going to be part of that? Or are we going to try to hold on to and grasp the status quo that we have been comfortable in for all these years? I know many of us, well, listen, I've been out of that environment for a number of years now, but I had actually always been out of that environment, even when I was in it. I never really was someone who fully embraced church culture, because God, you know, wired me in such a way that I was always looking outside, always looking regionally and outwardly, you know, for what God wanted to do. Well, guess what? Many now are forced into that kind of a mindset, into that kind of a focus. And so as we continue to, you know, move forward and talk about what a new wineskin is, what our role is in it, what it looks like, how it functions, some of this that I've shared with you today really becomes ideas, potentials, possibilities, and much more beyond. I'm sure only barely scratched the surface. You probably are thinking of other things that I would never consider. But that's where we get to work together. That's where we get to support each other. So I'm encouraged. I believe that we are at a very precipitous moment in church history where God is saying, no, status quo is no longer acceptable. So let's get ready to move. If you're not ready yet, let's say yes to him. Let's get ready to do the things that he's called us to so that we can be the salt and the light that Jesus says we're supposed to be.
For more information about Kingdom Training Institute, visit our website, www.kingdomti.com.